Wait for that little voice to tell us that we are recording. Well, welcome to the podcast. I am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel, and I have Nayla. Fuck, how did I get that wrong already?
Nayla.
Nayla.
You were well. You were doing
Nayla
well.
Rodriguez
is more challenging.
Oh my God.
It's not typical Mary Smith, you know. Nayla Rodriguez. Thank you.
Nayla Rodriguez.
Yes.
In my very Scottish accent, so this is going well already.
We're laughing.
Yeah, we are laughing. I saw you, so we know each other through the Glasgow Girls Club, and I saw you talking, we were both talking at a holistic fair, and when I saw you talking I was like, oh, I need you to be in my life and be on the podcast. Because your energy is incredible.
Thank you.
You are. Yeah, your passion for how you talk about what you do is amazing. So I am very excited to have you here. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here. This is one of my manifestations of my vision board for 2024, by the way. Yes.
To be on
a podcast, yeah.
Oh, is this your first one? The number
so
of
thank
people,
you so much.
My pleasure. The number of people I get to break their virginity and be a podcast guest.
Well, yes. There you go.
That should be a thing. So why don't you introduce what it is that you do to the listeners and have a chat about it?
Okay. So I am Nayla Rodriguez. I am a life coach and a motivational speaker. And yes, I did meet you through the GGC, Glasgow Glow Girls Club. GGC!
Yeah,
but I reached to you first because I was pregnant and I wanted you to help me feeling better.
Yeah.
And you did, and I love that. And I cherish that in my heart, honestly. It was great. And what do? Is I love helping people and motivating people to feel better with themselves, because I feel this is key to then achieve whatever you want to achieve in life, to increase your confidence and to achieve your goals, your outcomes, your desired outcomes, and that's my life coaching part. But I feel that I have always been some sort of a motivator or encouraging people, especially my friends, and although you won't believe me, I was shy at some point in my life. But I do love speaking in public. I do love speaking to people if it is to give them something that they can take away. And when we did that talk, it was my first motivational talk. And oh my God, the bus was amazing. And then is when I thought, this is my thing. I'm here to do this, you know?
Yeah.
Because I did get some feedback and I did feel and see that I moved some people. And
I think most of the room had tears in their eyes at certain points, for sure.
Well,
it was an emotional roller coaster.
Well, obviously then I said something that resonated with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everybody is here to do something. Everybody has a life purpose. And as you join the self-development group or whatever you want to call it, then you come to the conclusion that you are here to do something. And that something has to do with helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I think, so your purpose, each of us have a different purpose and a different way of helping others and contributing to others. And I think is through your own story.
Yeah.
So that's what I talked about in that talk. And I just said my life story with the I am not enough and I am not worthy and low self-esteem, low self-belief in me. And how did I change that? And why? How can I inspire people telling them this, and hopefully that helps someone. So
yeah,
it's a very long story for telling you what I do. I'm a life coach.
No, I need the long stories, otherwise this is going to be a one word answer and I have to think of more questions.
I
like when
don't
give,
worry,
I give a question and then I just get to sit back and listen to you speak.
That's a good podcast host.
Yes, I think so. So what you talk about, I think, is really important, because my podcasts and my work is all about helping people heal more from a physical illness, from overcoming obstacles when you get sick. But the mind is so important in that, because if you are a victim and you give in to whatever health condition it is, and you don't want to step into your power and move forward and do something to help you heal, you're going to be stuck and you're going to be sick for a lot longer.
Mm-hmm. Or worse consequences.
Yeah.
I would agree. I think you said very powerful words there. One, victim, and mm-hmm. second, power.
Yeah.
Step into your power. I learned this, God forgives me, thanks to my mom. She won't see this, she won't hear this, because she can't understand English, but I did tell her anyway.
It's all your fault, mom.
No, not really.
No.
But she's the example that taught me what I don't want to do. So I learned, I think, the behavior of sitting on the victim role mm-hmm. for everything, because I've seen it on her.
Yeah.
And I think generally in my family. And I think women are easier to fall onto this victim role. But the victimism or being a victim doesn't really help you.
No.
For anything, whether it is health or achieving your goals or whatever. And what is it to be a victim, or what do I consider to play the victim? It's not really in an argument. It's in general in life, when something happens, when things get tough, why did this happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything happens to you, not for you.
Yeah.
Instead of turning the challenge into a learning point, or instead of just taking responsibility of your own life, of your own health, you are the healing rebel.
Yeah.
And your health is your responsibility.
Yeah.
Before coming to this podcast, you told me that something about the health sector and the NHS, or the health services, NHS here, something different in Spain, but it's all the same thing. I don't think it's entirely their fault. I think the culture is that we don't take responsibility for our own health or our own life. I don't know if you know Joe Dispenza.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's amazing. His story is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
But he is the absolute perfect and great example on how important mindset is in regards to your health.
Yeah.
Because Joe Dispenza, in case somebody doesn't know, he is a scientist, but I think he was doing a triathlon or some sort of cycling. And then he had an accident, and he got paralyzed. I don't know where from, but
it was from the neck. Like, it was from the neck down.
I think so, but I don't know. Anyway, pretty impressive.
Yes,
whatever.
He was paralyzed.
Yes. And he was told he would never be able to stand up and move again.
Yeah.
So he self-discharged himself from the hospital and started working on his mind. And through the power of visualization and meditation, he literally healed himself. And he's now this amazing man, talking, walking, doing exercise, giving mindset conferences, doing a lot of research on the work he has done on himself,
yeah.
and proving to the world that this is possible.
Yeah, and he's helped a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And his conferences sell out in minutes.
Yeah.
He has thousands of people signing up to go and do his week-long retreats all the time.
I know, I think he came to Scotland not long ago, before COVID. I don't know if he's going to come back, but if he has, we need to go. If he's coming,
yeah.
we need to go. question. If I know, I'll let you know, or I'll get a ticket or whatever, and vice versa.
Vice versa, I have my friend Lilia, who's been on the podcast before. She runs Heal Scotland, and she's done quite a few of his. She's gone to Malta and and I think she went over to the States as well to do his like week long. She's like, as soon as he says he's launching, she's there ready to go, to press the button to go. But yeah, she's a massive Joe Dispenza fan. And
how
could
you not see?
Yeah, when it's, if it positively impacts,
yes,
impacts your life. And as you say, it doesn't need to just be about health. And I think even going back to the health service, a lot of the time, maybe the doctors are disheartened about what's possible because they don't see the positive enough. There's too small, like there's only maybe 1 or 2% of people get a positive outcome from things, so they just don't bother encouraging, or they maybe used to encourage people to make changes, but those people weren't taking responsibility.
Or maybe they don't believe in it.
Or maybe they don't believe in it and disempower a patient. I mean, I've had people tell me and from the NHS, you just have to accept that this is going to be your life. You are going to be a sick person for the rest of your life. And I was like, excuse me, what? No. And that's where the rebellion comes out. And
well,
like,
then.
No. But I also knew other people who live with the conditions I have that live quite well and have gone, no, that's not right. And they have proven, but you need to find other people, whatever it is, if it's your health, find other people that have overcome the obstacles. If it's business or everyday life,
yes,
find the people that can show you that it can be done.
Yes.
Because if you surround yourself with the...
Yes.
Who you surround yourself with is who you become.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody's drinking, you're a drinker. Everybody's negative, you're negative. It's so easy to get caught
yes.
in a circle. So it's been very...
Because active. You are... The mixture of the 5 people that you hang out with most, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think this is, for example, in my case, I moved to Scotland now 8 years ago because of my partner who is Scottish. And at the time, none of us were interested in anything to do with self-development or mindset or well-being or whatever. You would go to the gym because you want to look better. No, not because you want to feel better.
Yeah, it's all about the mirror.
And then comparison to others and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then I started my journey in the self-development world. And sometimes, some people, for example, if you are smoking, and your partner smokes and you want to stop but your partner doesn't stop, it's so hard. So environment always wins.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can be the strong one that makes that the environment always wins. And in terms of self-development, nowadays my partner stopped drinking. Not that he was an alcoholic, he just feels that alcohol doesn't serve him for his purpose, and he listens to every self-development audiobook under the sun, and he wants to be a CrossFit athlete.
Yeah.
So how funny that I started, and instead of him not bringing me down, but instead of me falling into his way of living,
he's
my way of living was more contagious for him, and he came into... to my environment, so
it's about, I think, for that kind of thing, if you're really certain that this is the right path for you and that's where your focus is, then other people will see that and be inspired. But if you're not as sure, if you're not confident in that path, then I think it's more easy to get dragged
over. But also, sometimes you can talk, but don't do. But results speak by themselves. So sometimes you gain confidence because you have this confidence that you gain from overcoming obstacles or achieving something new. You know, for example, in my case, I started with exercise and nutrition. And then I saw the improvement in my mental health, in my body, in my mind, in my hormones, everything, and then I continued other ways. But I didn't particularly go and say, you should do this, Jack. You should do that, Jack. You should eat like that, Jack. No, I said, I want to do this. I want to do that. I believe it's better for me. And now he is the one that doesn't want to eat sugar, you know, doesn't drink alcohol. And we go to Spain and I'm like, well, I could do without with sangria. it's just funny. I lost the plot. I went on a tangent, I think.
I love tangents on here too. Tangents are the best. So do you not drink?
No, then. Well, now I'm breastfeeding. I never really drank much. But I remember before I felt pregnant, the last Christmas night out, oh my God, I drank everything. But a lot more than what I'm used to. And the day after, I felt awful. And I remember waking up and saying to Jack, I've been so healthy all this time and I can literally feel the toxicity running through my veins. This is not worth it.
Yeah,
I don't need to drink to be fun. You know, yeah, I dance anyway. Nobody does, but people think so. I know I don't need to, but that day I just went and drunk and drunk and drunk, and I felt awful the day after. So I don't think I will do that again.
Yeah.
But if I go to Spain and there is a sangria, I might have a glass.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be strict. I don't want to be an athlete like my partner.
Yeah. It's about making the right choice for you in that moment.
Yeah.
And if you want it, have it without guilt.
Yeah.
And if you don't want it, don't have it without guilt.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would be worse with sweet stuff than with alcohol, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's that with everything you do, because every choice you make has an impact.
Yes.
So it's then you're choosing, making sure that you're staying connected and aware of the choices that you're making.
And how powerful that is. And going back to Joe Dispenza, I wanted to mention, if he had, when he was told, you're not going to be able to work again, if he had stayed in the victim, he wouldn't have done anything. But he chose to step into his power.
Yeah.
And he chose to take responsibility of what he could do about his situation. And oh my God.
Yeah.
What an outcome. That just shows the potential that everybody has. This guy is not, you know, Iron Man or anything like that.
Yeah.
He's not a superhero. It's just a person like you or me.
Yeah.
He just took his power and navigated that route.
So if somebody was in the victim mindset, how would you, or what would you say to them to try and help them flip that round?
Without offending them. Because it's hard.
You must teach me how to do that.
I don't know how I would do it. Because bear in mind, people come to me because they already want to step into their power.
Yeah.
They already want to stop being victims, or they are not victims and they are already on the go of moving forward. But in my house and with my mom, I do really need to be very careful, because I learned that when you are in the victim and you feel everybody is against you, if you tell them that something is wrong or they've done something, they could have done something better, they can get offended really easily.
Yeah.
So first of all, do they want help?
Yeah.
You know, if they want help, if they want to change their situation, they are already coming out of the victim mindset.
Yeah.
But you cannot help someone that doesn't want to be helped. So that's my first massive learning point. And secondly, you just empower them to take responsibility and to realize that everybody at this point, anyone that is listening to this podcast, has heard your thoughts create the actions that create your reality. So your reality is reflecting back to you what you say about yourself.
Yeah.
So that's a way of realizing that you can take responsibility.
Yeah.
I think.
You have to, there's tuning into that seat inside that's saying things can be better.
Uh-huh.
And then it's starting to find the people,
uh-huh.
the books, the podcasts, the videos.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever inspires you
uh-huh.
to move forward.
Exactly. Because I was there. I didn't say. I spoke about my poor mommy.
I was going to say that. What was your inspiration, or what was that thing that switched your light on?
Mario Alonso Puig is a motivational speaker. He's a famous, renowned doctor and motivational speaker and coach in Spain. And I watched a video of him and I went, I need this in my life. You know, you feel the excitement going
yeah.
up and everything. And he was talking about simple things in regards to mindset. And one of them, because at that time I was a victim and I used to think things like everybody is better than me. Jack and I had an argument because I'm not good enough,
mm-hmm.
or things like that. I didn't get this promotion because such and such is better than me, or I arrived late because traffic was horrible.
To me. Not to anybody else on the road, just to me.
Yeah. Coming here, I had a funny moment. I thought a friend of mine was behind me and hit the horn, and I just showed him the finger. But I don't know why he hit the horn. That's the point.
He deserved the finger anyway.
Don't do this. Don't do this. Anyway, I was in the mindset of I'm not enough. I'm a victim to the world. Everything bad happens to me. And then I saw this man, and I also saw another man, also Spanish, called Victor Coopers. And they sparked something on me. And then I thought, I clicked and I thought, maybe it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is not something wrong with me, but with the way I feel about myself and I think about myself, maybe I should do some work in myself,
mm-hmm.
and see what happens. And it's so addictive because if you work on yourself and on your mindset, it's just, mindset is everything.
Yeah.
Mindset is everything, and opportunities come your way. They always come probably, but you're not able to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start feeling better about yourself and automatically your confidence starts increasing, your self-esteem starts increasing, and then you see the same opportunities, and then you think, oh, I might apply to that job because I might be able to get it. And then you get the job, and then your confidence goes even higher.
Yeah.
And then you just want to feel better and better and better. And you start thinking, well, when I did that 30-minute run, I came back buzzing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or I didn't drink alcohol last night and I was able to make the most of my Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever area you choose to start, I think this is, you probably talk about holistic things a lot. Everything is connected. So whatever point you choose to start from, whether it is your mindset, whether it is your nutrition, exercise, whatever, health in general, you will just want the next thing and the next thing,
yeah,
and the next thing, and to keep improving. I think it's very addictive.
Yeah, and it does all start from the mind, because you have to think, this isn't right, I want that, before, that like, you don't accidentally, unless somebody hands you a salad and you eat it and go, oh, that's delicious, you wouldn't.
Or it's disgusting, but I prefer to eat these today.
I feel better after having eaten that.
Exactly.
You then recognise the benefits to yourself, how you feel, how you think, how you see the world, and then you take the next step. And it is addictive. And then you start clearing out the stuff that you don't want there. And sometimes that's the crisps and the chocolate and the biscuits. And sometimes it's people. You sometimes need to create these boundaries with people. And that can, I think that can be difficult for people. Like, I've seen a lot of people, and I know for myself, when I went on my journey, there were certain people that I just didn't click with anymore because they still thought the way I used to think and not how I think now.
Because you were growing, but they were stuck.
I was going in a different direction from them, and I was like,
bye.
And it just kind of phased out. So what advice would you give to people that are starting to recognize this?
This, as in people that you shouldn't hang out with, or as in what is the next step to...
Yeah, if there was people in their life that they realised were maybe unintentionally trying to drag them back down, or they felt like when they were around these other people that they made choices that they wouldn't make if they were with a different group of people.
Work on your confidence is my advice, because in my experience, if you lack that confidence, you won't speak up for yourself. You will be probably falling into the people-pleasing
way.
and then you end up so upset with yourself because you wanted something different and you didn't say that you didn't want whatever. Or because someone wasn't being particularly respectful to you and you didn't find the confidence or the courage to stop them. And that, you know, you get trapped with that energy. And you're also lowering your vibration, you know, and that's what attracts you to go with them.
Yeah.
Whereas if you work on your confidence, you raise your energy, you raise your vibration. Sometimes you don't even need to do anything and they just leave you, because people with very low vibration, they hate being around people with very high vibration.
Yeah.
It's honestly, it's like, I don't know, you work with crystals. Sometimes there are crystals that you can... Do you work with crystals, or did I make this up?
No, no, I have some crystals. I don't really work with them, but I do have them around.
But it's just...
Some
energy.
That you're drawn to, it, some you're not. And at different times of the month or different times of the year, you're drawn more to one than you are to something else.
So sometimes you don't even need to do anything. Sometimes it's just about working on your confidence, in your worthiness, in yourself, and everything else just comes. Just comes. You will have challenging situations,
like everybody,
but you will deal with them differently.
What sort of things did you do to boost for you to recognize that you were getting more confident?
Where you put your focus, it expands.
Mm-hmm.
So many people start saying, I want to go on a diet. Diets don't exist. They are
like Santa.
Sorry. It's healthy choices in life.
Yeah.
So some people say, right, okay, I'm going to get rid of all the biscuits in the cupboard. I do that because it's so easy to go and eat them. And I'm going to go on a diet. And you start seeing results. But then one day you eat that biscuit and it, sorry for the word, fucks your whole mindset, because you are focusing on, I've done so wrong, I ate this biscuit, oh my god, I'm going to start putting weight on, or spots here, or god knows what you're thinking, and you start focusing on the negative rather than, wow, look how far I've came. And I'm using the biscuit, the diet, as an example, but this can happen with anything.
Yeah.
So
instead, you could just say, I had a biscuit and I enjoyed that.
Yes.
So what?
And I can still eat the salad after this biscuit. Check out my confidence.
I've only eaten one biscuit, not the whole packet.
And if you eat the whole packet.
Yeah, it's still right, I did that.
That's fine.
Okay, let it go.
Yeah.
Move on to the
but
next thing.
Confidence is what happens after you've done something that you didn't think you were able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on that,
yep.
rather than I've done this wrong again. No.
Mm-hmm.
But when is that positive? What have you done well? Where you put your focus, it expands. And
yep.
And where you put your focus, you create your thoughts and you create your reality. So what reality do you want to create? Work your way back and focus on that.
That's where gratitude comes in really, really
yes.
handy, doesn't it?
Yes.
That and reflecting on the positives of the day.
Yes. Yes. I was going to say, coming here, I was thinking, what am I going to say in this podcast? I'm back.
I had no doubt that we would have lots to talk about.
You start me. I should know better. Anyway, I was thinking, mindset and gratitude is the same, but it's not. But it is, like, everything is linked. You know, like, I think it was Albert Einstein who said this phrase that I love. You can look at life as if nothing was a miracle or as if everything was
mm-hmm.
a miracle. And how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. If I get my period, I'm not going to look at things as this is a miracle. If my mother-in-law comes and annoys me, I'm not going to see this as a miracle. Life happens. But
how you respond to that is a miracle. This, trust me.
Yeah, but it's that gratitude part.
Yeah.
You know, like, even if you had the most challenging day, three things that you can be grateful for, I'm sure, that you
yeah.
can take them, and you will end up with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you start doing it, and you can start with the most simple thing, thank you because I have hot water and I can shower comfortably. I did not have hot water once.
Yeah.
In this life, in this world, not long ago, and oh my God, am I grateful for my shower?
Yeah,
I am. I am. So you can start simple, and then you will develop to more spiritual gratitude if you want to, or if it resonates with you, to the point that I'm so grateful that I am alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really am. I am a mom now, and I have this fear of dying that I didn't have before. So I turn the fear into gratitude and I say, thank you so much because I am alive and I am able to look after my son and be with him and enjoy this. And I feel so grateful for that.
Yeah.
So as mindset is your superpower.
Yes. And I think the more you practice gratitude, because a lot of people who have never done it have to start with it, reflecting on the day and finding three things throughout the day and gradually building on that. But I think once you've done it for quite a while, you then start becoming grateful in the moment when things are actually happening, rather than getting through the day and then thinking back. You can be like, oh, that person held the door for me, that was so lovely. Oh, that person smiled, that person made eye contact, I had a lovely conversation with the person in the shop, or whatever it is, the sun shining, and there's a wee blue bit of the blue sky peeking through the clouds today, or oh look, there's some clouds today, aren't they beautiful? And you start
looking at life as
everything,
if everything is a miracle.
Everything, yeah, everything is a miracle.
And miracles do happen. I
yeah.
tell you a story. And I honestly, I forgot about this, and I want to tell absolutely everybody because I think it's amazing. Miracles do happen when you do your gratitude, when you look at life like that. I was coming into Glasgow one day, with my baby in the car. And I always struggle with being on time. But with a baby, it's such a challenge. So I was meeting a friend for a coffee in Glasgow, and I get very nervous driving into town. And I was thinking, I need to find a parking space. So I was stopped in these traffic lights, and it was a junction, so cars would come from everywhere, but I was stopped in the traffic lights, and I just saw a parking space in the other side of the road. So cars will come in the other direction and a little bit behind me. But kids don't do this. I thought, well, the traffic is stopped because the traffic lights are on. I would just go back a little bit and then park there. And then that's me. I didn't see the car behind me. And I just, and they hit the horn this time, rightly. And and I bumped on them. And oh my God, the cortisol levels and the stress and the sweat, it went through the roof. I felt so nervous. I just stopped and started crying automatically because I thought, oh my God, oh my God. And I thought this was going to be horrible man thinking, there she goes again, making a mistake driving, because we get that, regardless. And I was just so fearful that a man was going to come and shout at me,
mm-hmm.
rightly, because I did make a mistake. Nothing happened, it was just a bump. Well, there was a woman, a lovely woman, she stopped next to me, and I was crying. And I was like, oh, sorry. And she says, are you okay? And I said, So then we stopped the cars on the side of the road, and I just came out like shaking, my baby at the back, and then she came running and gave me a massive hug. And I cried more.
Yeah.
Because I thought, oh my God, how beautiful is this? And she says, look, the cars are okay. Is your baby in the car? And I said, yes. Is your baby okay? And I said, yes. You are okay. I'm okay. Don't cry. You
yeah.
don't need to cry. We are all okay. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you take a moment instead of going back to driving? And do you need anything? Can I do anything for
yeah.
you? And then she gave me another hug and a kiss. And I went like, I took this hug. And this moment, this woman, I don't know her name. I was too shocked at the time. I should have asked her for her name, her number, whatever.
Yeah.
Because if I ever see you, whoever you are, I'm going to give you a massive hug and I'm going to buy you flowers, whatever I can do to make your day. Because that woman made my day.
Yeah.
How amazing.
She diffused what could have been a really uncomfortable situation by being really realistic of, it was just a minor bump. It's only cars, as long as the people are okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which 99% of the time when there are wee bumps, that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
what a lovely woman. Thank you very much, Lizzie, whoever you are.
I know. Oh. I hope I see her again. Honestly. I do.
Ideally not reversing and turning in front of her car, though.
I know. It literally was like that. Because my car started beeping, she hit the horn on time,
yeah.
But my response was
yeah.
dreadful, but her response was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was so grateful for that.
That was a miracle. If somebody bumps you, will you be able to?
Well, depending. Because if it is a man saying it's your fault for just staying there. Then I see, I bring my fire up and I say, excuse me. It's
that's
not my
Spanish
fault.
Fire.
You don't want to see. But no, yeah, of course I wouldn't get on anyone like screaming or shouting, because it just makes you feel awful. But when people
yeah.
act like that, I think they act from a place of fear.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes the fear is, in this situation, would be like, well, I don't want to pay the bill.
Yeah.
So I'm going to shout louder,
mm-hmm.
because I'm scared I will end up paying the bill. Sometimes you have an argument, I don't know, with your partner or a friend, and it's the fear of not feeling loved or not
mm-hmm.
being loved.
Yeah.
And that I'm not enough.
That fear of rejection or fear of, so before they get to reject you, before they do the rejection, you'll do the rejection to protect you, but actually nobody's winning from
yeah,
it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and yeah, I think a lot of negative situations, like when you see people losing plot or getting angry about stuff, It's never about what's happened just in that moment. There's been a whole other backstory to their day, their life, their week, their month, their year, their life. And if you can just pause to take a breath, to deal with the situation in front of you.
And it's hard, and you do need to strengthen your mindset for these things. It's basically how can you be the better person, or how can you come out of this situation that benefits everybody or doesn't harm someone, or at least you benefit yourself but without hurting someone else. How tricky is that?
It's very tricky, and sometimes I'll catch myself in a going nuts about something that's completely irrelevant, and then I'll be like, just let me have my rant, but ignore me because I just need this energy to come out, especially because I'm perimenopausal just now, so my hormones are like, and some months I have the rage, and words have come out my mouth, and there's a version of me over here going, that's a bit harsh, Jen.
Well,
I have the
at
awareness,
least
but it's like it happened so fast that I'm like, oh, I should maybe not have said that way. But I have, but I because I know that it's part of this menopausal journey, and it's hormonal, some of it's suppressed thoughts and feelings, and other times it's like, no, do you know what? It needed to be said. Might not have needed to say it quite so harshly, but it needed to be said. So let it get over it. But I do tell, like, my partner, I've got in my fridge, I've got where I am in my cycle, and I always put my moods and my energy and stuff like that. So if I'm going off, my sneaks through the kitchen and he's like, all right, okay, it's fine. And we make a joke of it as well. He's like, when is your period due? Like, soon, hopefully.
I know so many women get annoyed when their partners turn and say, are you on your period? I think it's right as well. You know, you can say it more compassionately as well. But it's good that you're aware of your cycles. I need to have a look at that whenever I get my cycle.
Make sure he comes back.
And yes, it's so hard to. One thing that I learned through being pregnant and postpartum is I was always so proud of me being able to trick my mindset, control my reactions, and see hormones. How do I control hormones? Like, I can control my mind, but hormones control my mind more than I do in certain stages. And wow, that is another
It's
level.
another level, and some of it still comes down to mindset, because when you are responding or reacting to something, it's having the awareness to be able to check in with yourself what is actually going on here.
Or finding strategies. If you have rage and you want to get that rage out, how could you do it in a healthier way? I mean, I'm saying these. Anyway, I don't do it. But yes, but like, if you don't want it, if you find that it's something that impacts your relationships, you can always find. I think that you can always find that trick for most things in life, and I love that. I love a shortcut.
Love a shortcut, but you have to have the awareness first,
Yes.
because you can't change until you know you, how you respond to things, how you react to things, what your motivations are, what your vices are. Without having that information, and for women, I think it's really, really beneficial and useful to track your cycle, because at different times of the month, you will be able to have certain conversations better at some times of the month than you can at others, because sometimes you'll be very clear focused, be able to have a conversation, and other times you'll be emotional because of the way things are rising and falling. So starting to know your cycle, and just because it says it in a book doesn't mean it's true for you. So, like, the female hormone cycle at day 14, when your eggs release and your hormones start rising, you're supposed to be, according to the books, that's the phase when you are strong and you should be able to go in, like if you were doing exercise, go in and lift heavy and make really good decisions. But now, ovulate, I have to wait. when I start bleeding, then I'm really clear headed and I can go to the gym and lift heavier.
Really?
And, yeah, I'm always different. But then everybody's unique and it depends as well on what's happening with your hormones. Are they following the pattern that the book says they're meant to be?
Because you do that in the mature stage.
Yeah.
So that might affect.
That's going to affect it.
There's
well.
No one just
as well as the hormones, yeah.
I have polycystic ovaries. I never go through the book.
Yeah, yours will be different as well. And so many women have got hormonal health issues that they don't necessarily have diagnosed, because a lot of them are really hard to diagnose because your hormones change so much. And the NHS can't test your blood every single day for a month to try and track what your cycle's doing. So it's up to you to take your own notes and see how you're feeling, how you're responding, what's going on for you, where are you motivated. If you're not motivated as your period starts, don't try and start a new mindset or diet or exercise regime, because you're not going to do it. But if you know that you feel more motivated to do it at another time, then that plan to start then.
Yes. Talking about productivity as well, because then you feel awful that you've not completed this task or whatever, or you didn't create a new project or whatever. I mean, it's not easy being a woman.
Yeah.
So, but on that note, I do think, talking about mindset, I do think we can be so powerful and so strong with our minds and everything else. You know, I might not be able to lift 100 kilos, but see, in terms of mindset, we can really, really, really be super powerful.
Yeah. And we were at the conference on Thursday, the Scottish Growth Summit, and it was for women, by women, about women.
Uh-huh.
And there was 150 of us all there with this plan to change. And the hard thing for women is we are living in a man's world. The week is set up, the days are set up to fit a man's 24-hour hormone cycle. Doesn't suit a woman's 28-day hormone cycle that gets added on top of that. Then also for mums, people who are wanting to become mums, people who are wanting to stay longer and look after their kids for longer, there's always this rush to get back to normality. your quote fingers, like, what is normality? And a benefit that we have, because we're self-employed, is being able to go, how do I want my week and month to look? And we can build our day rather than thinking we have to work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. That doesn't work for everybody. It works for some people, it doesn't work for everybody. So how do you then build the life that works for you?
I don't know, because your days off are Wednesdays and Thursdays. Or Thursdays and Fridays.
Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Friday. I have 2 weekends.
I want to be the feeling rebel when I grow up.
And I take a down week every 6 or 7 weeks.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
When do you work? We will finish.
This is work.
Your work is about giving a lot.
Yeah.
It's not sitting in an office.
Yeah.
So you do need to recharge. And I don't know if you are not, correct me, I don't mean to offend, but are you more of an introvert than an extrovert? So introverts need to recharge double.
Yeah.
Because extroverts might recharge with people. And
I recharge by myself.
I don't know if we went on a tangent. Did you ask me a question there?
I can't remember.
What were we talking about?
Sangria. We were talking about setting up your life to work in a way that works for you, because as women, the Monday, Friday, 9 to 5 doesn't really work.
No.
For everybody.
Yes.
What are you hoping that your work-life balance, if there is such a thing, because that's going to be unique to everybody, what's that going to look like for you now you've got like that?
So, I'm learning a lot. The dream. The dream is a house in Mara with a pool. And then growing up, my kids in a sunny place. I'm not from Malaga, but
no, it's right.
No.
No,
or at least a holiday home there, you know. Anyway, but I'm learning a lot about priorities. It's all down to priorities, really, and values.
Yes.
And your values, I did read about this before and I was aware of it, but just now my values have changed. So I used to value peace a lot. I don't value it, but not so much.
Yeah, but the definition of peace has to change.
Maybe. But priorities. And if for me, my priority, and it has always been before being a mom, being able to see my kids growing up, because my parents, when I was growing up, they were working so hard to give me a good life. They were never there.
Yeah.
I grew up with my grandma. But I thought to myself, I want to see my kids growing up. So I want to create a life that accommodates this. And I also want a lot of sunshine. So
yeah.
If I don't live in the sun, I'll go to the sun. So that means that I need holidays.
Yeah.
Because this is how I recharge with the sun. So I read something recently that says, find your balance. But balance, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Balance for you might be that you have 30% work, 40% of fun, and socializing, and 30%.
Yeah. I was probably doing the math in my head here.
This is where you know it's not prepared. And 30% of recharging your batteries at home or whatever, or holidays or whatever. I'm still defining this.
Yeah.
Right now, I consider I'm still in maternity leave. So for me, 90% of my time is Luca.
Yeah.
Because the fear I have is that I will regret not having been there and think, oh, I miss when I was able to have a nap with him.
Yeah.
And when he wanted me to cuddle him and kiss him. So right now, my priority is that. And in a few months, it might be Luca 70% and 10% self-care, 20% work.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's all down to your mindset, because if
yeah.
I believe I am able to create that,
yeah.
which I do, I will most likely create it.
Yeah.
If I believe I'm not, it's not going to happen much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I've spoken about values often on the podcast. And if people don't know what their values are, it's really difficult to then know what you want to prioritize.
Yes.
And how you want to interact with people, how you want to respond to situations.
Or even speak up. But I listened to your podcast and yes, and you do talk about values a lot, and you do talk about it in your book, and the way you talk about it,
I'm embarrassed because you've read that and you listen.
No,
how funny
no,
is that?
I don't want to read your book, but you talk about your book, so I know what
you're
saying. But I never heard that, and the way like your five pillars for well-being or
Five pillars for healing.
For healing. First is know your values.
Yeah.
And it makes so much sense. And since I heard that episode of your podcast, whenever it was, don't know the number. You need to listen to all of them. I've been explaining this to people.
Yeah.
Because it makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if for you, one of your values is, how do you put it across? Like energy and movement and excitement. Well, then don't start your well-being journey doing yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
Because boxing might fit you more.
Yeah, more dancing.
Or heat or
yeah.
CrossFit or whatever. Or just doing burpees. and that like resonated with me so much, and I understood me
yeah.
better. And then I thought, well, I do love yoga, But I'm always drawn to boosting my energy and
Yeah.
jumping up and down,
Yeah.
and because I love excitement and
Yeah.
I love energy, and you know,
Yeah.
and I'm more of an extrovert in that sense. So I love doing my burpees, but I hate them, but I love it.
You
Do you
love the
know?
feeling it gives you.
Yes,
Yeah.
but I will only do the yoga if I have done that first.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And then if I say to myself, I'm going to do yoga 3 times a week, I will never do it because it doesn't go with my values.
Yes.
And then I was feeling awful because I didn't do the yoga 3 times a week.
Yeah.
But now I understand, well, maybe it's not my thing, yoga. I
Yeah.
do love yoga. I do enjoy it. I would love to grow more as a yogi. but I don't want to sacrifice this. Because I need that. My body's asking for the burpees or for the jumping.
Yeah, it needs more
Yeah,
energizing.
so now I understand that. I feel more at peace.
Nice.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for listening.
My pleasure.
Is there anything else you want to talk? Is there anything else on your list that you wanted to talk about?
No, but well, I think I should have said this at the beginning. If you want me to say, in terms of mindset and how I started my journey, because it was with mindset
yeah.
and a mindset shift, and these things are not happening to me. How can I empower myself, and how can I go through this and feel better? And to me, it was I always wanted to be happy. I always knew, when I was in Spain, I wasn't living here, I didn't meet Jack at the time. I always had my ups and downs, my low self-esteem in certain points, but I always had this feeling of, I want to be happy one day.
That was your seed.
That was my thing,
yeah.
Yes. For other people, can be different, you know. But your motto, what is your motto? What is your why? To me, it was, I want to feel happy.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why, but that's
yeah.
what it was. And now I see happiness differently. I feel that if you have a good level of well-being, and then your confidence increases because you feel good and you can work on that and believe in yourself, then you can attract, manifest, achieve things that will give you happy moments.
Yeah.
Because happiness is a moment,
yes,
to me. You cannot always be happy.
Yeah.
You will never be always happy, but you will have happy moments more often than not.
Yeah.
If you have a certain level of well-being.
Yes.
And this is because I'm working on my values and my why, and I'm studying group coaching, and I'm working on a group coaching program, and it's all down to your values and why do you want to do this. And it's because for me, it worked. Working on myself and on my well-being, that helped me working on my confidence, and therefore I attracted opportunities.
Yeah.
I created a different reality that was much more desirable and in line to what I wanted for myself. And I manifested whatever this podcast. Do you know? But it all started with the mindset and understanding me.
Yeah.
And these values.
Yeah.
And I would say maybe my number one value is well-being.
Nice.
So it's driving me crazy, the postpartum, because there is nothing well in this being in a postpartum. Laughter is a second.
There's no coffee, right? Because for 9 months you grew Luca, and then it's not gonna, you're gonna take 5 minutes to recover from that.
I know.
It does take longer.
I know, but it's hard. It's
frustrating.
It is, but I'm starting to talk about how I feel about it more, and I
yeah.
feel better.
Yeah.
And I also inquired for psychotherapy as well. And I'm not shy to say it, but
yeah.
Because I want to be happy.
Yes. and you want to take the tools that are available.
Exactly. And I've never gone through these. And I was always so proud of myself, my mindset, my trick in my brain things. But I've never been in a postpartum. And hormones.
And your family's in Spain.
And my family's in Spain. And I had a traumatic birth, which is also a risk factor for not feeling your best.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if I cannot help myself, somebody can. So where do I go to?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Seek help, definitely. Yeah, I've been in and out of therapy for 16 years.
And this is why you don't have your rage every day instead of once a month. Probably. I see like the MOT of your car.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to take your car to the garage just because something is wrong or to fix something, but to prevent when something is wrong, you take it and do a service with your MOT, your whatever. So your mind, your mindset is your power. Your mind is everything.
Yeah.
If you're not good here, you're not going to be good anyway.
Yeah.
So this is how I inquire. I've not started, but I'm dying to start.
Yeah. I've only had positive experiences from therapy over the years, just, and it's always been a short term thing to help me get through a situation. In America they all go for therapy every single month or every single week, and it's a thing that people in America do. But for me, I'm dealing with a situation I don't know how to overcome right now because life's tough. I need somebody to help me get through this. And you go and you speak to somebody and they just can help you see it through different eyes. Or when you say it out loud to the person and you're saying it out loud and you're like, oh, I hear that. That's not right. I hear what I'm doing now that I'm saying it out loud to an actual person and not, because when you have the conversation in your own head, there's no voice in there going, calling you out or looking at you as if that is not normal. The voice in your head's like, absolutely, absolutely you should be holding this grudge or feeling this way about this thing or doing whatever it is that you do to do whatever it is that you do, and you're just like, you totally self-congratulate yourself for the nuttiness. But when you say it out loud to another human being, you're like,
there's also someone that knows why are you thinking that way, or what is the neural pathways, the connections that you have in your mind that are taking you through that route at this time in your life, because maybe this situation could have happened 3 years ago and you might have dealt with it differently or not dealt with it at all. But life happens, life evolves, you know, and you too. And sometimes things are too much.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Absolutely fine to ask for help.
Absolutely. And this happened because I was looking for a coach. I am a life coach, but coaches need coaches.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, before I come out of maternity leave, right now I don't have a coach, I'm going to look for a coach. And then I thought, I don't think I need to fix my business, my life goals right now.
Yeah.
I think I need to feel good first, and then I'll create whatever.
Yeah.
So went back to the basics.
Yeah. Yeah. And even, like, especially because you're teaching this stuff, I certainly think I teach this, why do I not know how to fix this in myself? I know my values, I know how to do this, but you can't.
Sometimes you can't.
You can't always touch yourself. Like, if I had a broken leg, I would go to the hospital and ask them to fix it. But if I had a cut in my leg, I'd put a plaster on it.
Sometimes you need the specialist.
Yeah.
And in terms of therapy or a nutritionist or the healing rebel or whatever, listen, someone that cleans your house, even what you are doing is buying time, because if you wanted to go and do it yourself, you can read your books, study whatever you want, but how much time do you need to invest on that? Sometimes going to a specialist of something. We're talking about therapy now, but I love that. It's asking for help because you're buying time for yourself, and time is gold. Time is the most precious thing we have.
My cleaner is a non-negotiable.
I have one now too because I can't deal with my life.
Because I like that, I got a cleaner when I wasn't well because my mum was coming down and I was like, that's not fair. You've got your own house to clean, you can't come down and clean mine as well. But I got my cleaner in and now she's just
making you happy.
She's 7 years she's been a cleaner.
There you go.
I'm not letting her go.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because it's precious time. I mean, she's only here for her and her mum come and they're the two of them are in for an hour and they do a full
amazing
hoover, mop, polish, blah blah blah. All stuff I don't like doing.
I know. And the time you
and
save,
it'll take me
and
much
what could you do
longer.
With that hour or 3 hours? What could you do with those 3 hours of your life? Anything else?
The laundry.
Pay for another hour. Jen, come on. Or work an extra day and then you pay for the other hour. Okay, can you still do the fucking laundry? Sorry.
You know, I've tried.
Yeah.
Once a year.
Their mindset is different.
Yeah. They're definitely different. I'm like, the washing basket's full. Are you just going to keep cramming the clothes in there? Like, how long can I leave it? And it's not until he's run out of work clothes that he'll go, should I maybe put a washing on? Knock yourself out.
And have you tried to tell him, put the washing on, please?
See, when I'm not well, he's brilliant. I don't have to ask to do anything. But when I'm well, it's like, there's washing that needs done. All right, okay. So it has to be, like, could you do me a favour, please? I put a washing on.
But, I mean, is it only your clothes when he's washing? I think it's a favour. I mean...
I know. But it's just the language you have to use with certain people to...
I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, he doesn't listen to me, but stop. Alright, anything else on that list that we haven't covered?
No.
Before we start going off on a really weird tangent.
We went on a few. No, I think we're fine. I think I said everything. Although you are asking me the questions, I wasn't bringing the stuff, but I thought if I talk about
you, just
you should have notes.
You came in.
But yes,
yours different and good. So this podcast will go out probably in 3 or 4 weeks. Will you be taking on clients?
In 3 or no, but I'm going to open the waiting list.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. So if people are wanting to follow you and find out more about your work, how to connect with you, where do they go?
To Neila Rodriguez.
No. I'll put it in the show notes.
It's actually NR, so N for Neila, R for Rodriguez, coaching or life coaching. I'm in maternity leave.
We'll put the links in the show notes.
Put the links, yes.
So is that on Instagram?
Instagram. I do have a Facebook page, but
don't really use
that. I don't really connect with Facebook.
Facebook
is not made for me. And I have a website and LinkedIn.
Okay.
LinkedIn. Yeah, so LinkedIn, Instagram would be my, or email. You will find it on my
website,
on my links, all the links are all connected. Yes.
Fabulous. I will put that into the show.
Thank you very much.
So that
thank
everybody
you.
Who is listening thinks I want more of that in my life.
Thank you.
So anybody's watching this or listening and hasn't liked, followed, subscribed, please do share this conversation with anybody who's maybe struggling with their mindset. Or has maybe been hinting at they want to change things but they don't know where to start or how to move forward, and they can enjoy our very wild roads tangent conversation.
Yes.